In the greeting of the Lord's Apostle Paul to the Christians in the city of Ephesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to meditate today on some verses from Ephesians chapter 2, which I believe Don first told me he wanted as his funeral text back in 2003, if I'm remembering my records correctly. And then just a few weeks ago, as we met again, he confirmed the same information, right down to the same psalm and same hymns, everything. He had it in his mind and heart, was not fearing this day. He wanted you to be blessed at his funeral. We consider Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole body, soul, and spirit be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, our beautiful Savior, dearly redeemed family of God, you've all heard the words amazing grace because it's in that hymn that's sung so often. Not in this service because there were other requests, but we could easily have sung it here too. Amazing grace. What's amazing? I think it's a generational thing. I don't usually hear amazing from my kids that often or their friends or grandchildren now. It's more like something awesome. Every generation has its own word, awesome or amazing. And the definition of what's awesome or amazing would change too. For instance, in the 1960s, on a Sunday afternoon, my dad took us kids into one of his favorite places, a Payless store. They just had everything. And he was so excited. He was into technology. So he wanted to show us something that was truly amazing. There was a little black and white TV about this big. And he said, look how small that is. It doesn't have any tubes like our TV back home. You know how those are always burning out? They always have to be repaired. This has transistors. Look at how small it is. That was amazing. Really. So now we watch high definition on a retinal display on iPad 3, that movies we can get for free that some people even make themselves. What's amazing? What's awesome? It's a generational thing. In fact, even if you got onto Don's favorite subject beside the Lord himself, and you started talking about green and gold, he would be thinking back to the glory days on Lambeau Field with the big coach, you know, Lombardi. But the generation living now who even, you know, across the river, of course, no offense if you came from over there today, but you know what he's talking about, and yet that's ancient history. Here is now. And so what's amazing back then isn't so amazing now. It isn't so amazing to other people either when you think about it. There was a man on the radio, maybe he still is. I just remember a few years ago when Tommy Mischke on the radio here in the Twin Cities was talking about one day when the Vikings and Packers were playing, and so he went across the river to Hudson to a bar there, incognito. He didn't fortunately tell anybody who he was or where he was from. He just thought it would be good to go and watch a game with, you know, the other guys. But as he watched, he realized that those Packer fans in that bar were not just talking about beating the Vikings, they were talking about killing the Vikings. And so he made sure that before too long, he left very quietly without saying much of anything else. I still remember when my son was in about fifth grade and he found out that his maternal grandfather from Milwaukee, Wisconsin had season tickets all the way back to the war and owns a share in Lambeau Field. Once he found out that all my wife's relatives were Packer backers, he became a hardcore Vikings fan. That's kids for you. Aren't you glad that your salvation doesn't depend on any of that? I come from the Oregon coast. We didn't have teams like that. I told Don that. All these rivalries meant nothing to me until I was in college, in an all-male college in Watertown, Wisconsin. And when the Packers and the Vikings played, I remember all the TV rooms were filled up to overflowing. You could hear it all over the campus, the hooting and the hollering. And what I really liked was in the dining hall afterwards, because they would sit there and argue about who had the most obnoxious fans. It was like, you know, the old saying where calling the kettle black, the pot calling the kettle black, it just didn't make any sense, but it was fun to watch them. Our salvation doesn't depend or matter on this. If even one little thing like that from this earth determined where we spend eternity, most people would lose because you'd end up back in the wrong team. But in the battle for souls, there's only two teams. There's the Creator God and His Son Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, the triune God, or there's the devil and all his angels. That's the message of Scripture. Those who disagree gamble their eternity against the eternal God. So the Lord shows us here in these words what really matters, and this is why Don wanted this for his text. He wanted to go beyond all these little peripheral things that really don't matter here and look at amazing grace that's amazing across generations. Every generation back to our very first parents, Adam and Eve, have knelt in humble awe to the amazing grace of God when God got through to them with his word. So he wants us to look at this and realize that there is one way through the one who said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When Paul started this chapter 2 in our Bibles, Ephesians 2, he's talking to church people. He says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That's not very complimentary of us church people, is it? Not much room for hypocrisy there, is there? We had no more ability to help ourselves than a player who died of a heart attack on the field that he could get up and score a touchdown or even pick up the ball. He couldn't even want to get up if he was dead. You were dead in your transgressions and sins, spiritual corpses. But lest those on the outside who think they're only hypocrites in the church, you know, no, he said, all of us also lived among them at one time. No exceptions. Gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts, like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. That's God's wrath on our sin. Our failure to love God with all our heart and soul and mind, our failure to love our neighbor as ourself, every time we walk by when someone needs help or are just hard-hearted to those in trouble and needing our help. We sin, and God is holy. And he says, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. That's not just the Old Testament. Jesus said in the New Testament, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So none of us could help ourselves. We were dead. And the Lord wants us to understand that so that we can appreciate the good news that follows. Paul rushes into the next part. He says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. While we were still dead, he made us alive. It's his doing. It's his work. It's his good news. That's his love for us. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. See, God has trophies too. If God has turned you back to him through his Son, Jesus Christ, you are one of his trophies. You are his joy and his gladness and his delight. The Bible says that all over in the Old Testament and the New Testament. You are his delight and his trophy. And he looks forward to that day in glory when he can hold you up as evidence of his great grace and mercy, that you were won by the power of God's word and held in word and sacrament by the power of the Holy Spirit so that you could come home to glory in God. That's what delights him. He wants everyone to take advantage of that blessing. Listen to this. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We don't have the works that God demands. It has to be totally and alone in the merit of Jesus Christ. But that's exactly what the Lord supplied in him who is called the Lord our righteousness. So we can't boast about our salvation. We can't boast about the faith to receive it. These are all a gift of God, not by works. No one can boast. But you do have one boast. He says, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. You can boast about what God has done for you, how he gave his son to bleed and die for us all, and how he has led you to faith and give you salvation. That is what Don is doing today through this text, boasting in the Lord, in Christ alone. But don't think for a second that God is speaking here against good works. Good works are necessary, but not for salvation. Good works are necessary as evidence that Christ has worked in our hearts through his word. So the last verse, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let me use another story from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Never saw this myself. I just read about it in the paper. Some of you might be able to fill in details that I can't see except in my imagination. There's apparently a tradition in Green Bay, which is the only one of the towns that have a championship team like that, where the players actually live out among the people and they shop together. It's actually a fairly close relationship with the team. But one of the traditions is that to get the players from the locker room down to the practice field, the boys in town will bring their bicycles, so that the players can, you know, hop on the bike and coast down the hill, and the boys are just proud to let them have their bike. Well, can you imagine a huge lineman sitting on some little boy's bike where his legs are stuck out so far, and that, you know, you wonder if the tires are going to pop, and he just rolls down the hill, and the kid running alongside just as proud as can be to have his favorite player, at least one of them, on his bike. They get to talk together like that. Some Packer player noticed a few years ago that the poor boys in town that wanted to take part didn't even have bikes. So he bought a bunch and gave them to the kids. And now those kids can run alongside their favorite players and take part in this custom. It's a great tradition. But stop and think about it. Does the boy loaning his bike to the player have anything to do with the championship game in the previous season? Is there anything he earns by doing that except the joy and pleasure of going alongside his champion? We do good works too. We loan whatever we have to God because he's the one who bought it for us and gave it to us in the first place. And we have joy in that. It's the joy of those little boys and girls that get to do that and with their champions. But it has nothing to do with the fact that the Lord already won the championship game. We are God's creation, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So all along in your life are those opportunities that God has laid out for you to somehow comfort the bereaved, to lift up those who are fallen down, to help the poor and needy, always in the name of Jesus Christ and for his sake and to his glory, to his praise. If you find yourself today on the opposite side of the line, lined up against Jesus Christ, consider this the referee's whistle. Another day of grace, God calls it. A day when the Lord invites you to step over on his side. Turn around. face the enemy with Jesus Christ, the champion. He already won. He just wants us to run alongside him, to do these things that are pleasing in his sight, to be the stars that he talked about in Daniel. He said, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Shine like the stars. There's no better way to honor Jesus Christ or the memory of our brother, husband, father, friend, Don Ostrom, than to stand with Jesus, to be the stars he created you to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.